You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
This week on the Famicom Dojo podcast, it's the PC Engine. We talk about how we started collecting it, how it didn't get a fair shake in America, and we go through an enormous pile of shame. We also talk about Metroid Prime Trilogy Waggle, and Vink still hasn't played a console that he bought in America. Don't forget to check out the audio bonus on our website. Really, it's pretty good.
This episode of Famicom Dojo is proudly brought to you by PC Engine, the little engine that could.
That guy must have gathered a lot of herbs.
If you'd like to sponsor an episode of Famicom Dojo, please go to www.littlepodcast.com, choose Famicom Dojo, and...
All right, you're going way too long.
Oh, really?
Yes, we were born to play all this video games.
So, I guess this is the first time we've ever had an episode sponsored by a piece of hardware.
I mean, it was bound to happen. The consoles, you know, on the show, they have a lot of friends, so...
Well, I'm glad it was the PC Engine that sponsored us, though, because I don't know. I didn't know we were still on speaking terms after our episode.
Yeah. Yeah, there were more than a few PC Engine fans who were unhappy.
But luckily, one of those diehard fans took it upon themselves to actually, and we're not kidding, the episode was actually sponsored and was told to be sponsored by the PC Engine. So obey.
Yeah, I mean, it's your money, so okay.
But no, I mean, and that's what I'm talking about. The fans of the PC Engine, I think are some of the best fans in gaming. I mean, they are dedicated to their machine. And yeah, I feel a little bad. Our episode on the PC Engine was a bit of a negative take. Although I think we ripped on the TurboGrafx-16 a lot more than the PC Engine.
Yeah, I mean that was kind of the point, because I loved the PC Engine. Although yeah. I didn't have a standalone until more recently, you know. Okay. But it's like I do not understand the TurboGrafx-16 at all. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me as a piece of hardware or as a marketed system.
Well, I mean, I think as a piece of hardware, as a marketed system, as a release in the United States, I think it was really a huge misstep. But the thing is, why people are so obsessed about it is because even with all that stuff, it just had some really, really, really good games. And then, of course, the people who went farther and found that the Japanese system had, you know, 10 times as many really good games.
Right.
You know, really got into a system there. And I don't know, it's... Yeah, I always felt bad that in that episode, it made it look like I was, like, making fun of the fans. And I guess we were, but I'm a huge fan of the PC Engine. I'd say it's absolutely one of my favorite systems. Because of its strengths and limitations. Hold on. That's hard to explain.
Okay.
Okay. Super Nintendo was too clean, too good.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay. Hold on. I loved Famicom. Okay.
Uh-huh.
You know, the 8-bit NES, you know, that's what I grew up on. Those were my games. You had your awesome chip tunes. You had games that were, you know, challenging and, you know, just made for a lot of replay and stuff like that. And then you move over to the Super Famicom, the Super Nintendo, and you have a really different type of game. The music is amazing because they've got all that, you know, built that extra hardware, the Sony developed hardware on there.
Say what? Sony?
Yeah. And the scope is a lot bigger because you had cart sizes which could be quite a bit larger, and like they added the you know Super FX chip and stuff, so you had all your rotation and 3D-ish effects.
Well, I mean, I guess Nintendo's learned their lesson because now they definitely will never make a system that's too good.
But I'm not saying that it's because it's too good per se. But the thing is, it totally shifted the generation, and it shifted it a lot. And I think some things got lost in the shuffle.
Okay.
And the PC Engine was released before the Super Famicom, and it retained a lot of that stuff. Like, the sound it's better than Famicom, but it's not like, it doesn't sound MIDI-ish. It's still chiptunes.
Okay.
It still has that kind of video game sound. You know, Super Nintendo had the fully orchestrated sounding soundtracks, but the PC Engine still had just better Famicom sound, if that makes any sense. It seemed more like a video game. And, you know, the games themselves, the chips, by the way, turbo chips or, you know, PC Engine Hue cards, or Hue?
I would say anyway. Hue. I would guess Hue.
But, let's see, how would a Japanese person...
Hue, more like an F sound, probably, actually.
Yeah. Hood sound, yeah. Anyway, I'll have to ask a Japanese person.
Good thing you know.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not many that would know that answer. But anyway.
Let's talk to Hiro, he'll know.
Yeah, he would know. Anyway, I love that form factor. I just love that. I love the little cards. I know I make fun of like Splatterhouse in my pocket, but I just love that they were like little credit card size things. It just seemed so incredibly high tech to me. It was like, you know, what people in the 70s and 80s thought that the future would be.
Sure.
You know, not realizing that it would go all digital or onto like little SD cards and things like that. But
these tape cassettes are the way for the future, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. But you know, they had a fairly limited amount of data they could put on there. So the games were, you know, bigger than Famicom games, but smaller in scope than Super Famicom. So you had a lot more action-oriented titles on, you know, on the system that used the cards. So you had tons of amazing shooters and action games and platformers and things like that. And then on the other side, they had this wonderful CD add-on that again was made better for the fact that it wasn't as good as another system.
Which, okay, let me take that back. Okay,
what was the competing CD system?
I guess the Mega CD.
Yeah, the Mega CD. And the Mega CD was better hardware. Oh man, people are going to kill me. No, it was. I mean, from a technological perspective, it was better. It was faster. It was, you know, it could push more whatever it pushed. But the thing is, because of that, Sega went in a bad direction, I think.
Oh yeah, I've played Scottie Pippen Slam City.
Exactly. They went FMV. There's so many FMV titles on the thing because they're like, we can do it. Now, theoretically, the Turbo CD could kind of do FMV. Like, I have a Sherlock Holmes game that uses FMV.
Yeah, I picked that up, and I don't think I've really played it, though.
It's, it's not good FMV.
It's less FMV and more...
During the MS-DOS era, they released a couple games that were released actually on floppy disks that had some FMV sequences. Access Software did a lot of stuff like that, and but it was, you know, it was these tiny, grainy, terrible clips, or whatever. And that's what it felt like to me, because I think they just couldn't load they couldn't stream it very well, so they had to kind of like load little chunks of it. I know they did it with a game called It Came from the Desert, but I haven't played that because they never released it in Japan. Okay. But anyway, but Sega CD was able to do that, and because of it, I think they got really lazy. You had all these FMV cutscenes, whereas on the Turbo, on the PC Engine, they couldn't do that, so they had to do it more of like an anime style, more of a drawn style, more pixel art, you know, a lot of voice, a lot of, you know, more old school graphics, and I think it was a better way of telling the story. I think it still looks good today, whereas you boot up a lot of Sega CD titles. Titles like Lunar excluded, of course. That one still looks fantastic. But I mean, anything that used the FMV has aged terribly, whereas a lot of these PC Engine titles still look really, really good.
Okay.
So because there was that limitation set, they weren't able to be lazy, and I think the titles are better for it. You know, it wasn't, you know, the next generation we had the Saturn PlayStation who could do video a lot better. Then there were some more interesting things going on. But in this era, I think the actual limitations led to a better experience. You play PC Engine, right?
Well, I mean, I own a lot of PC Engine stuff, if that's what you mean.
Well, what's stopping you? I mean, what's the main thing that?
So many new games. I mean, so all right. When we were doing those episodes, I think I had my Duel RX for a while. So it was like 2007. I got that.
Wow, is that long ago?
Mm-hmm.
You got that in Tokyo, right?
Yeah. When we first went to Tokyo Game Show.
Oh my gosh.
And I got it for a pretty good price, and I really liked it, but you know, we were barely doing the show at the time, and we were just Famicom oriented. And, so I didn't enjoy the same kind of boon I did when we were getting ready to do the Mega Drive stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't own any Sega anything except for my Dreamcast, and so I went out and I just like splurged, you know. I got like three different two different variations on the Model 1 Genesis. I got a Mega Drive when we were in Tokyo last, so that was 2011. I got a Model 2 Genesis, I got a Model 3 Genesis.
Nice.
I got the Master System. I got a Model 1 CD drive, which is the one with the slide out tray, you know.
Yeah, the cool one.
The cool one.
I still want a Neo Geo CD in that form factor.
Ooh, yeah. So, I mean, you know, that was like 2010. So I got a lot of games too. Like I was going onto eBay and Amazon and scouring the different stores. Oh yeah, I got two power base converters and eventually gave one to you when you were last year.
Yes, thank you. It works. It works.
Oh great. Yeah, this just doesn't have a flap to the
to
the cover. But I was like, oh, it's not good enough for the show. So I bought it not realizing it didn't have one. And then I bought another one.
That's okay. If it had a flap cover, what would it do? Talk?
Did we do that?
I don't think we did.
Oh no. But I so I missed out on like doing the same thing with the PC Engine. The best that I did was I really wanted to find the Turbo Booster Plus. And either I wouldn't pay for one or I couldn't find one. I forget which it was. But I did get a Turbo Booster, but I got it with another Turbo Graphics and a bunch of loose games. And so that's how that happened. Like I didn't really have a Turbo Graphics collection outside of like a bunch of CD games.
Yeah, some of those games were, I saw when I was over at your house. Some of those games are quite good too.
Right? So I played it a bunch when I first got it. But since then, not so much. So I wouldn't say anything is really stopping me, but like doing stuff for the show really helped. Bereft of the excitement of like doing research, I really don't go back and play a lot of old stuff anymore. Like not even the stuff that I've owned for 30 years.
So what you're hinting at is we should do another PC Engine episode.
Maybe. I mean, we got a lot of things going on. I'm just saying that, you know, we did this Kickstarter thing. And I mean, one of the stretch goals might be to do, a special episode of something.
Yeah.
See how they worked that in there?
Yeah, that was nice. That was nice.
Yeah, that's pretty seamless. I'm sure no one will notice.
Subtle, like a ninja.
Yeah.
Like a ninja who's also a surgeon.
I was thinking Ninja Gaiden, but what?
Gaiden? Okay.
No.
Sorry. Got to get that in there. Okay. I don't know. For me, I don't know. It was a system that I wanted when I was a kid because I remember hearing about it, but I never actually saw one for sale ever in my life.
Well,
I grew up in Wisconsin.
You mean the PC Engine now or the TurboGrafx 16?
TurboGrafx. Never saw one at a store.
I think
not even once.
I think I may have, but like I didn't know what it really was. Like the thing I remember the most about that era of non-Nintendo stuff was Altered Beast, and I guess they had like a pack-in with the Master System, which I couldn't figure out why it was so cheap. I'm realizing it was a Master System and not the Genesis. Yeah, and of course we did the comparison between the did we? Yeah, we did the comparison between the Master System and the Genesis versions of that game for our episode.
Altered Beast?
Yeah.
Oh, did we?
And one of the versions was on there.
We might. Yeah, we definitely had the Genesis version on there, but I don't think we ever did the comparison, which is startling.
I have both.
Hey, you know what else? There are two versions for the PC Engine.
What?
Yeah, there's a turbo chip version, or what is it? Sorry. No, not turbo chip. Turbo chip was the branding they used in the States, but
yes.
Hue card, whatever. Yeah. There was a card version of the game, and there was also a CD version of the game.
Oh my gosh, why was it on that console at all?
Well, Sega released tons of their stuff on the PC Engine. There's Space Harrier, Outrun,
right?
Fantasy Zone, a whole bunch of stuff, and well, for one, I think most of them were released pre-Genesis days. But in Japan, Sega released some of their stuff on the Nintendo Entertainment System as well. I mean, sorry, on the Famicom as well.
Well, sort of. Oh, you're right. Because I think Afterburner was released through Sunsoft, and then because Sunsoft didn't have a distributor in the U.S., that's how Tengen, whichever, that's how they got it.
Yes. But I mean, in Japan, there was less middleman. I think the licensing was a little less strict because, for one thing, even if you didn't have a Nintendo license, you could kind of make your own carts. That's why there's so many different shapes and sizes.
Oh, in Japan, you mean?
In Japan, but they were way more strict in the United States, probably because they saw what happened to Atari.
Right.
And because they were monopolistic jerks.
Oh, Nintendo.
But anyway, because of that, all tons and tons and tons of great titles for the PC Engine didn't make it over to the TurboGrafx-16, which is another reason why. I mean, bad hardware design. You know,
notwithstanding,
the real thing that killed it was like that. Other than Hudson, who was making games for that could even be released, because Nintendo had exclusivity contracts at the time. So if they had a version of a game, they definitely wouldn't let another system put out a better looking version of the game.
Right.
So you lost all kinds of cool stuff. I mean, the PC Engine version of Double Dragon 2 just totally blew the Famicom version out of the water. Their Ninja Gaiden. Dang it.
I just doing it on purpose now? I don't even know.
I don't even know. But which is, they obviously intended to have it come out in the United States, though, because I think I told you about this. The cart has English on it.
Right.
You just hold down a certain button combination. I don't know it off the top of my head. Well, check our show notes. The game's in English. They translated the whole thing, and it's different from the translation for the Famicom version. So they obviously had intended to, but I guess just couldn't get the rights through. There's a lot of games like that.
Jeez.
That's just absolutely a shame. And a lot of the late titles never even got store releases. They were only available through like Turbo Direct. So like, you got great games like Magical Chase, which are incredibly expensive now, like well over $1,000. I hear Joe Grassoffi has one.
Joe, if you're listening.
If you're listening, if you're listening, what I meant to say is that's worth nearly $100, and I'll buy it from you. So I guess it's when I got into Japanese games, though, that I realized what just I came at a good time. I came at a good time to Japan. I was here about 2003, and most retro game stores still had PC Engine stuff, but they were kind of getting rid of it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up tons of it, and not that expensive. And I don't know, I just absolutely became obsessed with that little system. So what games do you have that you've played?
Oh, geez. Cho Aniki. I Cho Aniki.
I wonder why the system hasn't clicked with you. Hey, those are great games, though. Those are great games. Some of my favorites, but that's usually not the first thing people say.
Oh.
Okay. What else?
Oh, dear. Out of all those TurboGrafx-16 games I got with that one system, JJ and Jeff, although I forget, it was like Kato and Ken, I think, in Japan.
Yeah, yeah, and very different.
Really? How different?
Well, I mean, it's really censored in the English version.
Oh, I'm sure.
and of course, it's based off a real comic duo. In Japan.
Oh, wow.
Ken is Shimada Ken? I don't know. He's still, and then Kato was another one. One of them got in trouble with the law for drugs or something. But
oh dear.
I'll have to look into that. But they were an actual comic duo. So their antics, you know, and I'm telling you, that's how bad it was for licensing that a game like that would never come over today. You know, it's just because it needed so much, you know, localization, and they really didn't do enough because it doesn't make any sense. But it was just because they didn't have many titles they could even bring over due to licensing.
Sure. Well, here, let me go and grab my stack here. I'll be right back.
Hey, you're listening to the sweet sounds of the PC Engine. I'm going to grab a stack of games, too. Ouch. The sounds of loose Who cards.
Okay, let's go through my loose ones first. I got with that TurboGrafx-16, I got Airzonk, Galaga 90, JJ and Jeff, TV Sports Basketball. I don't think that was very good, if I remember correctly. World Class Baseball. And I have a couple of PC Engine cards here. Hold on.
Okay.
Necromancer?
Ah, really? Okay. Yeah, it's... Yeah.
All right. sorry, I was trying to translate that from Katakana. It took me a second. It's some kind of mech thing. What is this? No idea. It's kanji here, so that's not helping me. But it looks like some kind of Gundam-ish mech.
Okay.
I don't know. So I, out of all of those, I think I might have played, JJ and Jeff and Airzonk. I should really look at some of these. If I recall correctly,
Airzonk's good.
I think. Oh yeah, this World Class Baseball one is bent. I don't even know if it works. But okay. And I got a mixture of, CD and, Who cards here.
Yeah.
Oh, I picked up a copy. It was Lode Runner Lost Labyrinth, so it's not the original. I got Chouaniki and I Chouaniki right in the top.
Of course. One of those should probably be a bottom, though.
Yeah, thought that was going to...
Sorry.
Forgotten Worlds? What is this? This is a game called Forgotten Worlds.
That is a great game.
Is it a great game?
Yes.
Now, I bet you last time we were in Japan, I bought a bunch of these.
Yeah.
Just because
I said that's a great game. Yeah.
And then I never ended up playing it when I got back. Although this says 2008 on it, but I wasn't in Japan in 2000. So, 2011 must be when I got it. Oh, yeah. I have a Ramen 1/2 game. Why do I have a...
Which one? What color is the cover?
It's like brown. Why can't I open this? Is it taped? I've never even opened this.
Wow. Right now, there's a whole bunch of PC Engine fans listening to this who are like, unsubscribe. Right? Forgotten Worlds is great.
Jeez. It's got female Rama like molesting some kind of blue flower on the front. I don't know.
Molesting a blue flower. Okay, hold on. Let me look. There's three Rama games on the system.
She's wearing... Oh, I have another one right under here, too.
This
is a CD game.
Okay, so the one with Ranma molesting the flower, that is the visual novel type game.
Okay,
it's really cool. It's got, again, it goes along with what I'm saying. Like they didn't just show clips from the anime. They got the voice actors together, did a new story, and did some really really nice sprite work for the, especially the intro. It's really cute. You should read that. What's the other one you got?
Oh geez, I can't even get the tape off this thing. All right, well, this one's taped too. Okay. It's got male and female Rama on the cover.
Okay.
There doesn't seem to be a subtitle on it.
Okay, that's the first one. That is a side-scrolling action game. It plays a little like the old game Kung Fu, Spartan X. You know.
Oh, okay.
Enemies just kind of keep coming at you, and you got to just keep moving forward because they continually respawn, and there's a lot of jumps. It's got really really neat cutscenes and stuff. The action is a little floaty for my taste, but it was the first one. And the one you don't have is the one-on-one fighter.
Okay. Oh, well, that seems like the one I would want.
it's fun. It's fun. It's kind of a weird one-on-one fighter because you don't choose your character. It's like story-based. I don't know. The first scene takes place in like a bathhouse, and you're like...
Well, I mean, obviously...
Obviously, and you're like semi-nude female Ranma trying to fight off the advances of that old lecherous Hapozai character.
Wouldn't she become male if she touched the water though? I don't get it. Is that why you're in the bathhouse? So that you don't...
I guess he... I don't know. They're fighting with like bath buckets. I suppose the lecherous old man is doing all he can to keep... Oh man, that show is messed up. All right. Anyway.
I got it open finally. Good, good grief!
Wow, there were three
pieces of tape, and they're ancient. I mean, they were just.
It only took you 8 years to open this game.
Is that what year it is? Oh, good grief! Yeah,
yeah.
Yep, there it is. It's a very unimpressive CD case. I got for like 200 yen. I got this for 200 yen a piece. So it's like, you know.
Wow.
For why wouldn't I buy it?
That's a good price. That's a good price. You should give it a go.
I got Fighting Street also. Wait. Why is Hudson Soft credited on this?
They did the port.
Okay. So for those who don't know, this is the original Street Fighter.
Yes, it is. And it's fairly terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ken and Ryu are in it, and that's it.
Well, the thing is, like, there's a so much better Street Fighter game on the PC Engine, though. On the chip, on the card,
yeah.
They did a very competent port of Street Fighter II Champion Edition.
Yes, right. I don't think it's
It's very very nice. I mean, there's a debate that continues to rage on whether. The Mega Drive version of the PC Engine version was better, but regardless of which side you stand on that, it's very hard to deny they did some amazing things with, you know, hardware that at that point was pretty old.
Right. And I definitely played Fighting Street. In fact, I think that I might have gotten that confused for Street Fighter the game, the movie, the game.
That's fair. I think, when we were doing our podcast where we talked about that, I'm like, that was never on PC Engine.
So that's where that came from. I got an Ultra Box. I don't know
which one? Volume 1, 2, 3? I think there were 6 volumes. Ultra Box was a magazine on disc that came out. I think it was quarterly. I mean, it didn't go on for very long, but it had all kinds of little mini games and information about PC Engine stuff and just like digital comics. And I don't know. I loved the series.
Some it was super duper cheap, so I think that's why I have it.
Although they're not any. Again, you bought it a good time. So much of that stuff has really gone up in price.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I got an R-Type 1 Who card.
Because they split it for Japan.
What?
Well, sorry. The game is just R-Type.
Okay.
I mean, that's what the game was. And
it's friends.
And in America, they had both parts 1 and part 2 on one cartridge, being the whole game. But in Japan, they split it into 2 carts.
Oh, okay.
Like, which they did, you know, like they used to do for, like, Famicom Disk System games. They'd have the first half of the game on one disc, second half on another, but the discs were sold separately. They do it with books, too. What? The Hunger Games, if you read the Hunger Games here in Japan, you got to buy 2 books.
It's not even that long.
No, it's not.
Insane.
Harry Potter split into 2 books. Yeah,
like each installment. I mean, yeah, like if it was Game and Thrones, that would make sense because it's already 3 books long. But
nope. So like, if you want all of the Harry Potter books, like the hardcover editions, you're looking at getting yourself 14 books.
Good grief. Well, I mean, it's better than 8 movies, sure. I guess.
Maybe the first one wasn't split into 2 books. I don't remember, but like all the later ones were.
I got a copy of Populous.
Oh, which one? The CD one or the card one? They're different.
It's the card one, and it says okay. ROM. So there's like save data down here. Oh, there is. Yeah, it's a nice big thick.
Yep. Yep. Card. Those. Yeah, it's one of the ones with the battery in it. Yeah.
So all right. Full disclosure, everyone. When we made our season 1 disc.
Yeah.
We went back and fixed a few things. Mostly we just made it look better, but I think there might be like a replaced clip here and there too. Like when we go back and we do the season 2 stuff, I'm going to use this cart instead of whatever we used for the demonstration and the.
I think we used a Tenokoi Bank.
Yeah, which wouldn't be quite.
Which
right.
wasn't actually a game. It was just a save card.
Yeah, which I have one of those around too. I think I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Who the heck knows if the battery in this thing even works or if it is even bad. It has a battery logo on it.
Yes. Although some of the thin carts also had batteries in, I guess, but
interesting.
I don't know. And then some thick carts didn't have batteries in. I don't think Street Fighter 2, correct me if I'm wrong, people listening, but I don't think Street Fighter 2 had a battery in, but it was a thick cart. I think to make use of the fact that it used like, you know, twice as much, the storage space is the next highest game.
Okay. I got a game called Adventure Island, which is not
Adventure
Island, but it's also by Hudson Soft, so I had to get it. Even though I'm sure it's terrible.
It's not. It's not terrible, but it's not. It's not what Americans think of as Adventure Island. That game was, Takeshi no Shima. Or
something like that.
Something like that, which was basically a clone of what was it, Wonder Boy, the first Wonder Boy. but anyway.
Well, I loved Adventure Island, as I'm sure anyone listened to episode 100 of the podcast. I detailed that. What? Yeah. I have Bomberman 94?
You have Bomberman 94 and you're not playing it right now?
When the hell did I get this?
Did I give it to you, maybe?
Maybe. I don't remember owning this. You think I would have been like, oh, I got Bomberman 94, like the first thing I mentioned when you like asked me all this stuff. I had no idea I even had this. Good Lord.
Well, no wonder you're not a PC Engine fan. The best games you haven't even opened yet.
Oh, I don't even. All right, moving on. I can't. That's all right. Lunar Lost Labyrinth. I think I mentioned that.
Yep.
Yeah, I should really probably put that one in and see what that one's like. Oh shoot. Sorry. I have there's actually like the foam backing behind the cards here, and like all of these have the plastic sleeves inside the cases.
Nice.
Dragon Spirit. What the heck's Dragon Spirit?
It's like it's another game that couldn't be released here because they released it on an inferior version on Famicom. It's a it's a top down shooter.
It's a Namco game.
Yes, it's Namco, and it scrolls. It's you know up and down. What is that word? Vertically. Oh my lord! I've been living here too long.
Oh god. Oh I'm yeah, like, I have Street Fighter II Champion Edition.
Oh, you do have it. Okay.
And that's a card. Yeah. Oh, it's also a thick. Yep. There we go. So you were just saying that. Oh, yeah. This is crazy. What the hell? How did I not know I had this? I also bought like on Virtual Console a few versions of these. And I think I might have like some kind of Street Fighter 2 for Mega Drive as well. So
probably. All right.
Keith Courage in Alpha Zones.
Not a great game.
No, but I have it.
Maybe one of the worst pack-ins ever.
Oh, this is a TurboGrafx 16 card. It even says Who card on the art, even though it's TurboGrafx 16.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's weird. And then the Sherlock Holmes game.
Ugh.
But one interesting thing about this is that because the PC Engine's region free, I don't have a CD system for the PC Engine.
Yeah.
Or for the TurboGrafx 16, I can play this on the PC Engine instead.
Yes, you can.
So,
you have the English version.
Yeah, TurboGrafx one.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I have the Japanese version, and it's been dubbed into Japanese, so I can't play it.
Oh no.
I mean, I could play it, but to tell you the truth, it doesn't really matter what language it is. The sound is so grainy anyway.
This is quite the pile of shame I have here.
That's a mountain of shame. You've unveiled the first mountain of shame.
Well, now that you've publicly shamed me, I may have to start going through this stuff. Just hook up the PC Engine. But which one do I use? Do I use the Duo RX or do I use the actual like legit PC Engine and CD system briefcase?
Ooh. Your duo system's worth more these days.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you're gonna wear out a system, maybe do the briefcase because you can replace the individual parts of that. But if your duo wears out, it's harder. So
it's modular. I think everyone's like crying right now. It's like, why haven't you guys talked about this on your videos yet?
Oh, I think so. They're like you have all this, and right now my PC Engine stuff is I have a Core Duo 2. I think we saw it on the show once, because you saw me snap the thing on the back. I've got a regular Core Duo. I've got a Duo R. I don't have the RX. I don't.
Mm.
I'd like one. They're just incredibly expensive these days.
So the 200 yen I got it for, 200. That's not 200
yen? What?
Everyone's
moving to Japan right now. All right. No. Basically 200 bucks.
Yeah.
No. You'd be lucky to get one in that condition, because that was a really, really good condition one, too.
Right.
You'd be lucky to get that for, I mean, a good find on that would be 300. But probably a more normal price would be about four.
Four, yeah. Yeah, I got, yeah, it was 8 years ago.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Well, wow. I mean, is there anything else you want to say about the PC Engine then?
Hold on. I feel bad for shaming you so much.
Okay.
So let's do a comparative situation. I'll be like, hey, I got an N64 a while back with some games. I haven't really played it much. Is GoldenEye any good? How about, what's this, Mario 64? Is that what
I didn't know they made so many Mario games.
Wow. I didn't play 63. Well, too many spoilers?
I think 40 through 60 were just kind of passed, but then like 61, they really started to get good again.
Okay, not all those games that you had that you just mentioned were gold, but some of them are really, really good games, and you do owe it to yourself to play them.
Okay.
Hey, do you have how many controllers do you have?
Oh, that is a good question. I have the one that came with the Turbo Duo RX. Okay. Or no, it's not Turbo, whatever. It's a Duo. Whatever. I came with that. It's like this big old monstrous thing with switches.
Yeah.
I think. Ooh, yeah. Hey, I don't know if we mentioned this in the commentary for that episode, but we covered the Turbo Twin, right?
Yeah.
And like the sound from clicking one of those switches didn't really come through in the video that you sent me, so I took my Duo RX controller and clicked that and used the sound for that and dubbed it over your video.
Whoa! You know what? I didn't know that till right now. You see, I'm glad I did this podcast. I can learn something.
I know. The bitter truth comes out.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that, Turbo fans? Turbo Graphics does what Nintendo.
Oh. All right. Enough of my pile of shame.
Okay.
What do you got for me?
For my pile of shame?
Yeah.
Okay, this one's going to hurt.
Okay.
Are you sitting down?
I usually do for the podcast.
Okay. My pile of shame is my Retron 5.
What?
I know. This has been mentioned. If people who listen to our show regularly, thank you, by the way, know that I had basically a year and a half ordeal to finally get a Retron 5, and when I got it, I was so happy. And I, in a video coming up, you know what? I'm not going to spoil it. But there's a Retron 5 in a video we have coming up. But anyway,
that's kind of overselling it.
a Retron 5 is mentioned briefly. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is overselling it a bit. It is sitting on my shelf right now, next to my Wii U box, slightly under the Virtual Boy, and it is it's back in its box, and I have never hooked it up here in Japan.
I even gave you some games.
I know.
Games that I absolutely could have parted with and did, but.
Well, the thing is, I hooked it up. I hooked it up when I was still in America, because I wanted to test out that Master System Converter and stuff, and I wanted to just put it through its paces, and it was really nice. But I haven't really used it here at all, because I have a wall of like the actual hardware, and I kind of prefer to play it on the actual hardware. It's not that I'm not going to use the Retron 5. I think when my kids get a little past the smash everything in sight phase of their life, I'm going to hook it up on the TV outside so that I can move from my small cavern of shame every now and then. I tried to have friends over here the other day. We fit like four people in here, but it was not fun.
Oh yeah, for VinCon 2015 Part 2.
Yeah, pretty much. Yes.
Yeah. All the beer and cheese you could find.
Yes. Oh, you saw that post. Yes. But I think the Retron 5 is going to be great for one thing, for keeping my systems from having the wear and tear, you know?
Okay.
Because I'll be able to buy another Retron 5 a lot easier than being able to buy, you know, some of these other hardware. Although, come on, Retron 6. I'm waiting for Retron 6. I'm still
waiting for Hyperkin to get sued into oblivion for stealing a lot of the emulators they used without attribution. Dun dun dun. You didn't know about this?
I heard about that.
This is a whole story. I'm sure we.
I don't know. They're still for sale though, so I wonder what's going on.
Yeah. Well, maybe they've got to some kind of settlement because. Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe. The litigation is done by the same team who did the distribution, so it's going to be a couple of years before we hear anything about that.
Oh, boo.
Sorry, I'm still bitter I had to wait so incredibly long to get this. But
so did the power-based converter work?
Yes, it did.
Cool.
Yes, it did. Although at the time, the only game I had was Great Baseball. And you know what?
Sorry.
It's not so great. But now, thanks to some Game Gavel auctions I won, I've got Thunderblade, and I've got, what else do I have? I got a whole bunch of stuff. Hold on.
I'm mostly curious about those NES battery backup games because I heard that actually does something terrible to the cartridge itself.
Yeah, that's another reason I stopped. I'm waiting to see, you know, I'm going to update the firmware, which is nice that you can update the firmware, and then I'm going to read some reviews, but to tell you the truth, probably I'm not going to do many saves back to the cartridge. Because it's got, if you put in an SD card, or maybe even without, it's got its own bit of internal memory. I'll probably just put saves right on the hardware.
Well, that's mostly why I want on the Retron 5 at this point, yeah. Because those batteries are going to die. And I guess I could try and replace them, but why? I mean, the only five-screw cartridge-based game I have is Zelda, I think the first.
Yeah.
The first or second one. And yeah. I got that just because I wanted to compare it to a Kid Icarus internal.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a video at some point.
So I got Bomber Raid, and I got Raston, and I've got, and coming, I've got Space Harrier and Fantasy Zone. So I, by the way, Game Gavel, people should use this because.
You're on it.
Yeah, I'm on it. I'm on it. But also. I want your stuff.
What?
No, I like lots of people like your common junk right now. Like, remember when I went out of your house, how excited I was that you gave me like a copy of Excitebike and stuff like that. Cause yeah. I don't have any Western stuff anymore. For me, that's exotic.
Oh, I suppose.
I'm like, wow, they've got Bases Loaded here. You know, they had like 50 copies of it. Because nobody wants it there, but I'm like, wow, that's great. Because I'm looking to pick. A lot of people are coming to me to buy really common Japanese stuff really cheap because it's new for them, you know.
Sure.
But for me, I'm trying to get like right now. I just recently picked up a Super Mario Brothers cart, the American one, because I want to show people in Japan the difference, what it looks like.
Oh, you did find one.
Yes, I finally found one. It cost me $3, which is a very fair price. But like, it's just common stuff there. But for me, that's impressive. So if you've got stuff you don't like, sell it on Game Gavel. It's their percentages are way lower than eBay. And more so, I will buy it. Or other people will bid as well, I suppose.
Sweet. All right, my turn?
Yes.
All right. Virtual console, Wii...
Yes.
Whatever.
The Wii U.
The Wii games on Wii U.
Wii download thing, yeah.
So the only one I wanted Mario Galaxy, but I missed the week window.
Oh, no. Did you miss Trilogy?
No, I didn't miss Trilogy.
Oh, phew.
I got Trilogy.
Good.
I'm not playing Trilogy.
What?
Well... I mean, so after I finished Metroid Prime 2, because I have Prime 3 for my Wii that I opened way back in 2007, okay. Never really played because like I got to finish Prime 2, and then last year I finished Prime 2.
Like me, how I had to finish 63 before I could start Mario 64.
Right. You had to finish Mario's 4 through 63.
Or last night I was going to watch 7, but I realized I hadn't seen 6. So.
So I started playing 3 right afterwards, and I didn't tell anyone, and I stopped because I got to the first boss fight, and I just whiffed it. I am not a huge fan of these Wii motion controls for the
really?
Game. And I've heard lots of people say, looking at you, 4CR, heard lots of people say it's a vastly superior control system.
Yeah, it's...
And I just can't do it.
Shout-outs to Gaff, yeah, okay.
What?
Oh, NeoGaff. Like, there were a couple posters who came on and had the audacity of saying that they wished that they would have mapped the GameCube controls back to Metroid Prime Trilogy to play it on the gamepad. And they were like, why would you want to play with such a, a disability, basically?
Because the Wii controls are garbage?
I want to correct you on that, but I haven't played it, so that would be
well. Me. I mean, you can't correct my opinion of a direct experience here. Like,
No.
I have a hard time with it. Like maybe it's because I'm left-handed.
I'm not sure,
but that's how I tend to hold it, and I tried doing it the other way. So I fired up Trilogy, and I put in Metroid Prime. I mean, they're all in. Whatever. I started Metroid Prime because I wanted to do a comparison, right? Because it's going to be a widescreen now, and that's one thing. I was curious to know if the voice acting was in that version, but I don't think it is.
Oh, didn't only the, UK or something get voice acting?
Yeah, only the UK got that, but I thought I had heard at one point. At any rate. And I don't remember if this is like... a change from Prime 1 to Prime 2, but I don't remember that icon for like the scannable stuff being where it was before. I don't know the way that you select weapons and visors in the Prime 3 control scheme kind of changes the experience for me in a way that I'm not sure I like, because you got to like hold down like minus and then like move the wand to the quadrant of the screen that you want the thing to select, and that stops the action. Like, it literally stops the action when you do that. It's like that having the D-pad to do that instead,
because
you push down on the D-pad on the the Wiimote. That's a missile, I think. Like and then like jumping and morph ball, I get mixed up constantly.
Okay.
And you got to have a rock steady aim at the screen the whole time, because otherwise you're going to look off into the side. So it's nice. It's the GameCube controls are bad in that you can only move and look with one control stick, and that's why people don't like that. But that's like GoldenEye controls if you go with the default, right?
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So that was fine, and it's not really a first person shooter. And, the game was designed with that in mind, so I don't feel handicapped by it, because there's no instance where I felt like I couldn't handle it, But then, when you lock on in this game now, you're not totally locked on. Mm. Like your view is kind of fixed, but your aim now is, like, floaty. So you still have to aim precisely. So I guess it's more of a challenge, but, I liked my aim and my look being locked. And I don't have an option that I know of that lets me lock both of them. And that's why I whiffed it on that first mini boss battle in Prime 3, is because I wasn't expecting that to happen. And I was like, okay, I can't aim. Ah, crud, just what chance? What do I do? And then I just died.
I'm not going to make fun of you for that, because recently, remember we talked last time about Mario Galaxy 2, I was talking about playing it. And I do. I enjoy it very much. It's a wonderful game. I hope I didn't give off the impression that I didn't like it last time, but I got a comment from one nameless fan named Gojira, and
Hey Gojira.
Hey Gojira.
Him on the show.
Oh, sorry. One anonymous fan named Gojira. Who was surprised that. Who was surprised that I was choosing Mario 3D World over Galaxy. And I will admit, Galaxy is probably a more creative game. Definitely imaginative and wonderful and a very unified artistic style. But the thing that gets me is I don't want to shake the controller to do a spin. I think that could have been mapped to a button. I don't think it added anything to it. When you're playing No More Heroes and you actually have to shake the controller to do sword swipes or
wrestling moves
or recharge, you know, there is something that is added from doing that.
Oh boy, is it!
You know, some games use pointer controls, like collecting the starites by pointing at them with the Wii remote. I appreciate that. That's a mechanic that is added on by using the Wii remote. But I would much rather just press a button to do a spin jump. I don't think that is my definition of tacked on waggle.
Dang.
And I know the thing is, I feel bad because Super Mario Galaxy is the first one was one of my favorite games on the Wii, and the second one, which I just started playing recently, is fantastic, and I really, really like it. But I think I've been not playing with Wii remotes for so long now that I'm, you know, doing Wii U and retro stuff that it just seems counterintuitive to me.
Well, I know Zach Shipley of the No Topic Required podcast says recently that he's making his personal mission to make everyone realize that Mario Galaxy is the best Mario game of all time. So I guess it's got a bit of an uphill battle there between the two of us.
It might be the best designed Mario game of all time, but just let me map my buttons, Nintendo. Come on.
Let me buy things, Nintendo. You know, since we recorded our last episode well before the 3DS release, and we recorded it before, hours before Nintendo
released. I was still awake when that went up. It was just right after our podcast.
I think most of our points still stand, but like, you know, you can't find 3DS chargers easily. Like Best Buy doesn't even carry them. Some employees don't even know that they exist, that it doesn't come with the system. Anyway, the point is that, what's my point?
That they're still $1.49 on Amazon?
They're not.
They are. We found it last time, remember?
No, it was like almost $5.
Well, after shipping, yeah.
No, before shipping.
No. Let's link it in the show notes.
Oy. All right, fine. We're going to do that. I'll look for it. Like, did they give referrals for those?
Ooh, I wonder. Let's find out.
All right.
If you're listening to this and we haven't put up a referral link yet, don't buy an adapter yet. Just wait, because then, or you could just gather some herbs and send some money to us from our. Where exactly is our PayPal donation thing? Is it at the bottom of our main page?
No, I need to add it to the page. It's, I think, episode 49 is where we initially set it up, and I think it's in a few episodes after that.
Yeah,
but we're on 114 now, so you have to go back a little bit. Anyway, no, I'll make that more obvious. we still have to go to our website at famicom.tv to do that. But yeah, so I just wanted to mention that in case anyone was wondering. We could possibly talk about more of that in one of these 10 emails.
What did you buy for Club Nintendo? What did you decide to go for? You have a lot of points, right?
I didn't have that. I only had 1,000. I thought I had like two, but I only had 1,000. But the good news is you get Wii U stuff, and then you get more points more surveys to fill out.
Yeah.
So you have until the end of March, I believe, to input everything. So what did I get? And I got stuff mostly for the show. Well,
okay. You got the Excite Bike.
I got World Rally. Like all the online stuff's gone now, which is, you know, the world part of the the title there. But I got that. So I guess I only got that one thing for the show, really. But I did get Doc Lewis's Punch Out.
I was thinking of getting that. How is it?
I mean, it's, you know, if you own Punch Out, then you don't really need it, but if you're fighting Doc Lewis, so he's got some good commentary. I like it. It's cute, but it's a Club Nintendo exclusive, right? So if you don't get it right now, you will never be
able to play it, which grinds my gears. But
anyway, and then I got Dr. Luigi for Wii U, so I got some more points off of that too.
There was one other exclusive that's going to disappear. Like, there was a 3DS exclusive I know that was like something like Sakura Samurai or something, I don't know. And there was another one for the Wii that was like the Mega Hand or something. The
right. Yeah,
the, based off the one of the early Nintendo toys.
The
yeah.
Grilloff thing.
Yes, Grilloff with something. Did you get that one?
No, not yet. I probably
maybe,
will.
Maybe we should just because that's going to disappear.
I have a ton of points to register still, including both my Smash Brothers games so that I can get the Mewtwo DLC.
Oh, okay.
So now I'm going to do that. And I guess I can also register that Wii Mini I bought.
I just got Flipnote Studio yesterday. Did you pick that up
no,
yet?
No, there's something that got to follow instructions. I don't know what all is entailed. I don't even know if do I care what it is?
I don't know. I just clicked get it and they gave me a code and I got it.
Okay. Well, I'll try and figure out what I got to do for that. Yeah. So, our first Denshimeon was last week. If you didn't hear that, ended up taking a serious turn in the middle and then got a bit less serious at the end. So that's worth listening to if you didn't. We're going to number these the same as the episodes that they're near so that when we refer to them in the future, we don't have to worry about
I think that's easier.
Being like which one's which. But so we'll be doing one next week, probably.
Yep.
So cool beans. All right.
So if you have any questions, send them in, of course, as always.
And if only Club Nintendo would let you buy some TurboGrafx games or PC Engine.
Listen.
See how I brought that around?
I see how you brought that around, but I mean, you got to think about it. Why would Nintendo start letting you buy PC Engine and TurboGrafx games if they still don't even let you buy Nintendo games? Sorry.
I don't know.
Little bitter.
Fair enough.
But I'd love to hear everyone else's in our comments. Please let us know your experiences with the PC Engine. Are you someone who's put it off like Sean has, or someone who played it a while back and decided not to continue, or are you one of the hardcore obeyers who is who's still playing it to this day? We'd love to hear your comments on that and recommend some games for Sean. I recommended a few, but I'm sure a lot of your favorite games didn't come up. Recommend some games for Sean, and we'll probably talk about those in upcoming episodes.
Sweet. All right, I guess until next time then, the dojo is?
Somewhere still sealed with tape.
Damn it.
Famicom Dojo.
If you enjoyed this episode, please visit our show notes at FamicomDojo.tv and leave a comment. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or our RSS feed. Rate and leave a comment on our free iTunes storefront, or call us at 608-492-1923 to share your thoughts. Follow Famicom Dojo on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube to train your game. And visit littlepodcast.com to sponsor an episode, sign up for a free Audible trial, or listen to any of the other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.